Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Amen. Today is an opportunity for Christians to celebrate one of the greatest holidays this world has ever seen. And we love celebrating God's goodness. And today is a holy day, a very wonderful day. And to me, it's one of the greatest days, one of the greatest holidays. Christmas is very, very important. But without the resurrection, Christmas is nothing. With the resurrection, Christmas makes sense. So we celebrate, as believers, the resurrection day. And we love it. In fact, we start doing some traditions. I forgot about the bow tie, but we did have hot cross buns. This is something we do here at the church, and we're able to celebrate, like I said, Dwight Morris, and we continue to do that. But we want to establish those traditions because it reminds us how important the holiday is. But you need to know that there's a lot of people, non-believers, have no idea what we're talking about. They struggle with this concept called Resurrection Day, Easter Day. It's very, very hard for them to grasp it. The idea of Jesus shedding his blood for us, a non-believer has a hard time with that. The idea that he has to go on a cross and die for us, well, that might make sense if he's a great martyr. And a lot of people do see Christ as a great martyr, one who died for his faith. But still, the idea that he needed to die for our sins, that whole story is really, really difficult for a non-believer to understand. Resurrection? Oh, that doesn't make sense. A dead body raises from the dead, and for some reason, we have eternal life through all that? A non-believer has a very difficult time wrapping their heads around it. But we know as Christians that we have this great story. This amazing story, this story that has transformed our lives. It is a story in which we celebrate today. It's something we hang on to it. But also, it's a story that needs to be shared. And I'll share with you later on. There's a passage in Scripture that brings it out very clear with regard to people not understanding spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:14 and 16 says this, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord is as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ." So when we talk about spiritual things to non-Christians, they just don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. So this morning, I'm going to go ahead and relive this amazing week, this amazing story. Now, I never take the assumption that everyone here in this church is a believer. I can't take that assumption. I believe that there's people here for the very first time struggling with this concept called Christianity, Jesus Christ, the resurrection, the death, the blood, all of that. And I pray that God will use this opportunity to hear the story in a way that might bring seed into your life, and one day it will just grow, and you'll see the wonder of what it means to celebrate on a resurrection day. So let's start the story. As I shared with this before, this story is on a calendar. It happened 2,000 years ago, historically. Of all the things, it started with the death of Lazarus, just before he came to Jerusalem. The death of Lazarus. Why did God wait 3.5 years for Jesus to come and raise up Lazarus right there at the beginning of the Passion Week? That is something to ponder. That is something to think about. There is a beautiful reason about that. As you hear the story, you remember Jesus had the shortest verse in Scripture there. Jesus wept, and Jesus loved Lazarus, and it pained him to know that he died. Jesus was giving a glimpse. God was giving a glimpse into Jesus' heart that he truly hated death, and that death has robbed him of a special friend. What a great way to start the Passion Week for a Christ, for a God who is feeling with us the loss of a friend. And he raises up Lazarus in 4 days, after 4 days of death. Then, of all the things, he comes into Jerusalem shortly after that on a donkey, and everybody around there started to praise him, started to say, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." They recognize that he is some type of king. You need to know, we need to remind ourselves, that the Jewish people was looking for a king. They hated Roman Empire. They hated the rule of Roman Empire, and they're looking for that one king that will come back and release them from the tyranny of the Roman government. They wanted their land back. So here it is, Jesus Christ had an opportunity, again, to be celebrated as a king, hoping for a king. But again, what Jesus knew is that this was not his time to be that one king that rules all, but a king who ushers people into the kingdom of God. That is what he did, and he comes in that way. Then we find ourselves going through the Seder dinner, which is a beautiful thing. The idea of him coming together and giving us a brand new way of looking at the Seder dinner. He gives us a tradition, which is really important for us as Christians. We have traditions like Resurrection Day to come together to identify who we are. And the Lord's table is one great way to identify who we are. That God chose us to be able to be a part of a table that we truly believe in, because the resurrection, the shedding of God's blood, gives us eternal life and a right relationship. Then we got the arrest. We got the trial. We got the brutal beating. In Scripture, it says very clearly, he was beaten so badly. The Greek brings it out so clearly. He was beaten so badly, you could not recognize him. With how badly he was beaten. Again, Jesus Christ did this for us. Then he carried that cross to Golgotha through Jerusalem. Has anybody ever carried a cross before? It's difficult. It's very hard. He did that. Then he's nailed to the cross with all its dynamics, right through the wrists, right through the feet, pulled up, and then just tremendous amount of pain. David reminded me of something yesterday's memorial service about the thief that was right there. That's a powerful story. The thief recognized Jesus as to be the Savior. He was about to die, and he turned to Christ and said, "Please, remember me when I get to paradise." He got it. He understood the enormity of what's happening with Jesus Christ. The very thing that we have to come to our place in our life to recognize the enormity of what Christ did for us. So we have this wonderful, amazing death. And then we have the grieving. The terrible grieving and fear that the disciples were experiencing. They just lost their master. They just witnessed something that was very horrific. They laid him in the tomb. They still are trying to wrap this mind around the words of Christ saying, he will come back one day. They're struggling with that. He is dead. And the next question is, what is going to happen with us as disciples? How are our lives going to be different? And there's that fear, that grieving. Then we get to the story, this amazing story. Let me share that story with you again. But on the first day of the week, one of the things that they do is they put a person into a tomb. Okay, that tomb is a place where people can visit. And they prepare that body with spices so that that body can live for a bit, but also not as smell as bad. And they keep a body in a tomb for a year. Then almost after the year, they take what's left of that body and put him into a type of box, and then he is buried in a different gravesite. So here it is, the first day of the week, an early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But they went in. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. While they were there, they were perplexed about this. Behold, two men stood by them and dazzling apparel. Can you imagine two men dazzling apparel? You know, what does that look like? Tremendous white, but enough to be able to put in words that this was a very amazing sight. And as they were frightened, bowed their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Now, finally, all those words are coming together. All those words are making sense. Before they didn't make sense. Now they're making sense. God is opening their hearts and their eyes to what's happening. I'm just kind of distracted over here. Sorry about that. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remember the words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what happened. Now, who's ever been to Jerusalem before? Have you ever been to the Garden Tomb? The Garden Tomb. Okay, I'm going to show some pictures here, what it looks like. That's what the Garden Tomb looks like. And a lot of people, a lot of archaeologists, well, a lot of people, smart people, believe that this could be the tomb. It's in this, you know, they figure out the area, they figure out where it was, and this is the tomb that it looked like. And I tell you, when you go there for the first time, and you see that tomb, I had a chance to do that. You truly feel like you're standing on holy ground. There may be truth that is the tomb. It may be. But even not, it is something like that. And then what you do is you walk into that place. Go ahead. And this is what it looks like. They have gates over there, but they show you places where the lame place, where he lied. And walking in that tomb, I tell you, your emotions, your feelings just go, they're overwhelmed. And that tomb reminds us that that tomb is empty. And that's what the disciples experience. And that's why we can celebrate today. There are two important truths about the resurrection that we can think at and put our teeth into. First, hope. Hope. Hope was one of the most powerful motivators in our life. We have to hope in something. If we don't hope in something, then we don't know how to live out our future. And the hope that we're given is that we have eternal life, that Jesus Christ has prepared a place for us because he rose from the dead, that we ourselves are now people that have the right to go to heaven. So we have this hope. I have no idea when I die. It's getting close. But I have a hope that helps me know how to walk today. I know there's a place for me. I know there's my parents and my friends are up there. That hope dictates the way I live today. We need hope. And we put our hope in many different places. But the hope that God wants us to have is on the hope, on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and this is why we can celebrate. Now we have love. That's the second part. We need love. We live in a world that love is conditional. Love is taken away from us. Love is something very hard to feel. Love is the very thing that we need. And the way that we get love is now because of the resurrection, there is the kingdom of God. And God invites us to be a part of that kingdom, and we live out that kingdom every day. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we're in a special place, a special kingdom. We have God's presence. We have his words. He gives us spiritual eyes, as we heard. We're able to see the amazing things that are happening around us because of that kingdom. But more importantly, Every time we're fighting sin, every time we're fighting our self-worth, every time we're fighting something that tries to take love away from us, God reminds us that He loves us unconditionally every day. And it's through the mercies and grace that He gives us every day. We get to know God through that. That love is powerful and we need it. And because of the resurrection, now we're a part of the kingdom of God. Now, let's go back to a non-believer. A non-believer has a hard time with all of that. And I have sort of a rhythm that I do every day. I read two news sources in the morning, one liberal, one conservative, try to get some type of understanding. But my favorite thing to do is I read at least 10 comics every day. I need to lighten up my day a little bit. I need to kind of hear through the eyes of those cartoonists the way they kind of look at life. And the one thing that I've been looking for the last 30, 40 years, I look for the cartoons on Resurrection Day. Every Resurrection Day for I don't know how many years, I go to the comics and I look to them and I see what's happening there when it comes to the real world. There was a time 30, 40 years ago that many cartoonists will make a reference to the Easter, Resurrection Day. But now when you look at the cartoons, guess what it's about? Bunnies, eggs, candy. And there were only two cartoons that I found this morning that literally focused on the resurrection. BC. Anybody know BC? They're so good. He is so good. Today's BC is awesome. Take a look at it. I want you to go home, put on BC. You're going to really love what he has to say. But also another one by Tom Stiklage, which he gives us the inside look of going outside the tomb that he is risen. But again, as I shared earlier, a non-believer has a very difficult time. Why do I know that? I need to, as a Christian who's been a Christian for a very long time, I need to sit back and I need to think about how a non-believer thinks. I need that for myself because I want to relate to a non-believer. I want to be able to come to a non-believer and talk to them and connect with them and relate with them. But see, it's not that hard. I look back at the time before I was 21. Just before I turned 21, I was a non-believer. And people tried to tell me about Easter. They tried to tell me about the resurrection. When they start talking about the blood of Christ, I'm sitting there thinking about it going, you're nuts. The blood of Christ? What is this about? This doesn't sound healthy. I'm serious. A non-believer does not think as a Christian. And someone told me about the cross. He needs to be nailed to the cross. I'm going, why? And I'm going, okay, I can see that. He's a great martyr. He died for the cause. I can get with that. Then a resurrection? No way. A person rising from the dead. Science says you don't do that. There's no proof of that. This is the mind we struggle with. And the idea that, Jesus wants to be your Lord and Savior. No way I want someone to be my Lord. And Savior? What do I need saving for? Well, you need saving from your sins. No, I don't. I'm a good guy. Well, for the most part. Well, no, for some part. I pretend, I think that I am a good guy. And I don't need a Savior. So me thinking about what a non-believer feels and thinks about Easter is very important. What did happen through that whole process? I had friends come up to me and start sharing me the story of Jesus Christ and about the resurrection. And he started planting seed in my life. They kept telling me about it. And God eventually started making me very curious. And things started to make sense because I was looking for hope. I was looking for a better understanding of love and purpose. And suddenly there was a day this all came together. I remember faking an altar call because I was trying to impress a girl. I'm serious. I'm really serious. Yeah, she wanted me to be a Christian so badly. And she's sitting there praying, and I said, I'll go down there. And I remember them laying hands on me, and I wanted to run. It was crazy. I mean, you got to remember, but those seeds that were planted in my life because of that resurrection story, one day God opened my eyes. And when I heard God's word, when I heard the sermon, it was like barbecue ribs for the first time. It was awesome. It was wonderful. I'm understanding. I'm seeing the kingdom of God. My eyes were open. And I tell you, it was amazing. The theme for this morning is this. The greatest story must be told so seeds can be planted. We as Christians, we have this great story. We have the greatest holiday this world. We celebrate it. But God never intended for us to share it with ourselves or even with our Christian buddies. God intended us to share that story to other people. And you need to know that's a powerful place, that's a powerful purpose in our life, that God calls us to come alongside of people and share the good news of Christ, to share that story. So, for non-believers here, and I know there might be a couple, the first thing I want you to know that God our Father loves you dearly. He loves you dearly, dearly, dearly. He created you. He put you into this world. He brought special people in your life. And He loves you dearly. And He wants you back in His family. He desires that. He wants you to be able to call Him Father. Be able to have that relationship where you have hope for the future, as well as love for today. The resurrection, it takes faith. It takes tremendous faith to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. From you engineers, you mathematicians, you scientists who are Christians, we know how powerful that is. We need faith, period, to live our life. Just getting into a plane takes faith. We use faith every day. Pray that God will give you the faith to believe in the resurrection. And I pray one day, suddenly you go, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I understand the gospel. I understand His love. I am in the kingdom of God. This is wonderful. I pray for that. For believers, celebrate. Celebrate dearly and greatly and wonderfully. I'm going to go have Easter dinner pretty soon, and I'm going to celebrate wonderfully with some good friends. But we need to know that God has called us to share that story and to plant seed. And I want you to know planting seed takes a lot of work, and sometimes it's frustrating because you don't see any fruit. We got to have faith. I have some dear, loved people in my life, and I will never give up, never give up on loving them and planting seed and hoping one day and pray one day they'll come to a place where they'll go, yes, Christ is my Savior. Yes, He is my Lord. And yes, on a Sunday like this, when I say Christ is risen, He will say, or she will say, He is risen indeed with full purpose and with truth and conviction that we do this today. So let me share with you again. Is Christ risen? Christ is risen. Amen, amen. Let's continue.